Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome. It is the Prayer Closet. It's that time we take out of every day to lift up your needs, cares, concerns before the Lord. If you have a prayer request for us today, 419-389-0893, 419-389-0893, or prayer at yeshome.com. Let us know what your need is today, and we will lift it up before the Lord on the Prayer Closet. And remember, we always keep your prayer requests anonymous. We never give out your name or information, so don't let that hinder you or keep you from getting the prayer that you need. 419-389-0893 or prayer at yeshome.com. And Lord, we do thank you this day for the opportunity we have to come and pray and lift each other up in prayer, to console one another, to encourage one another, to help one another as we pray together. And Lord, as we lift those cares and needs up to you, we know that you, the creator of the universe, God and Father over all things, are listening, are hearing, are receiving our prayers, and you are acting in our behalf. You are showing your care over us and your care for us to meet those needs and to help us in our time of trouble. And so we thank you, Lord. We thank you. We have such a great God and an awesome God to care and love for us, and that you work your mighty, mighty power in our lives. We give you all glory and praise and trust you in this day and pray this in your name. Amen. 419-389-0893 or prayer at yeshome.com. And before we get into our prayer requests, we always like to get into the Word of God. And we've been looking this week at the things that happened after Jesus' resurrection. So some of the events, and we didn't look at all of them, but we looked at some of the events that happened after Jesus' resurrection. And we're going to conclude today with the reinstatement of Peter. And this is in John 21. And we talked yesterday about the catch of fish. This is the time they're out fishing. They're all out doing, you know, we talked yesterday, they kind of gone back to their old habits, their old ways. Out fishing. And Jesus comes and appears to them, and they haven't caught any fish. And then he tells them to cast their net over the other side, and they haul in, you know, more fish than they can carry. And so they go up on the beach, and they're, Jesus got a fire going there, and they cook up some fish, and they're eating, and they begin talking, and that leads us to verse 19. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." And again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" And he answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he said to him, "Follow me." It's often called the reinstatement of Peter. Of course, Peter famously denied Jesus three times. Jesus said he would never abandon. If you remember, Jesus was with the disciples right before he's being crucified, and he's talking about how they're all going to abandon him. And Peter, you know, steps up and says, "I don't care, Lord, what the rest of these do. Even if all these run away, I will never abandon you." And Jesus, of course, told him, "Peter, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times." "No, no, not me. I don't know what you're talking about." And, of course, we know what happened. Right? Peter's following Jesus to see what's going on with the trial. People start coming up to him. "Hey, aren't you one of his disciples?" And he denies. But here's the thing. Peter just doesn't deny being disciples. If you look back, and I'll let you go back and read the stories. You know, time to read all those. But if you look back at the accounts of his denial, they grow progressively stronger. He says, "No, it's not me. No, I'm not the man." And then the last, they say, "Aren't you? Surely you were with him. You're a Galilean. Surely you're with him." And he says, "I tell you, I don't know the man." Peter doesn't just deny being a disciple of Jesus. He denies even knowing him. I don't even know this guy. They're crucifying him. I don't know him. It's an absolute denial of Jesus. It's as strong a denial as you can issue. It's not like, oh, you got the wrong guy. Oh, no, I'm not his disciple. Yeah, I mean, I follow him around. You know, I used to listen to his sermons, but I'm not really his. No, he's like, look, I don't even know this guy. Don't tell me I'm a disciple. I don't even know him. He absolutely denies Jesus in the strongest of terms. It's a harsh denial. And of course, when the cock crows, he remembers what Jesus said, and he goes out of the city weeping bitterly because he realizes what he's done. And you think about those 3 days that he had to worry about that before the resurrection, and how they were awful for everybody, but even for Peter, you think it weighed heavily upon him even more because of his denials. And then we think about how he would have felt when Jesus first appeared. What's he going to say? What's he going to say to me? He's going to know that I denied him. What is he going to say? Is he going to punish me? What's he going to do to me? How will he receive me? Well, now here in the third time that they're together, Jesus begins to speak to him. Finally, Jesus addresses it. He hasn't said anything about it to this point, at least not that it's recorded in the Bible. You know, Peter probably sitting back, maybe didn't realize what I did. Maybe just, we'll just leave this on to down low. I'm not going to say anything here. Right? He's like, yeah. But now Jesus addresses it. But notice he doesn't address it directly. He doesn't say, hey, Peter, remember how I told you you deny me 3 times? Yes, I remember that, yes. No, he doesn't do that to him. Because he's not there to humiliate him. He's not there to crush him. He's not there to beat him down with what he's done. Jesus is there to restore him. And so, he addresses it, but he never mentions the rejection. He never mentions the denial. He addresses it in a way always aimed toward restoration and reconciliation. Peter, do you love me? You deny me 3 times. I'm going to give you a chance 3 times to tell me you love me. And 3 times, Peter says, yes, I love you. Yes, Lord, I love you. Yes, you know that I love you. Then feed my sheep. Follow me. Not only does Jesus do this in a way that allows Peter to release his guilt and his shame. Not only does he do this in a way that allows Peter to reaffirm his devotion to Jesus that failed in a moment, but was true in his life. He also does it in a way that reaffirms him and restores him as one of his followers and say, yes, you will lead my sheep. You will take care of them. You still have work to do. You're still my disciple. And this is what God does for all of us. Sometimes we fail God. We know that. We fall into sin. Maybe we're in a situation where we have an opportunity to speak up for the Lord and we don't. Out of fear or concern what other people think or say. We shrink back from the moment. We deny Christ in our own small ways. And maybe we've felt that shame and that embarrassment and before the Lord and that guilt. But just as Jesus restores Peter, when we come to him in humility and call upon him for forgiveness, He greets us with a restoring spirit, a gracious spirit, a loving spirit. He restores us. He puts us back on the path. He reminds us that we're still his children, still his disciples. We still have work to do for him. It's a beautiful story and a beautiful picture. Peter, in many ways, the leader of the disciples. A terrible failure, but a gracious restoration by a mighty God and a loving God. Just as Peter restored, just as Jesus restored Peter, he's ready to restore you, even if you feel like you've failed him, even if you feel like you've let him down, and maybe indeed you have. It's okay. When we come to him in humility, when we come seeking grace and mercy and forgiveness, he is gracious and kind, and he loves us, and he longs to restore us back to being his disciples. So cast yourself upon the gracious love of Christ, and today he will restore you. 419-389-0893 or 419-240-1937. You can text either number. Don't call right now because we're having all kinds of issues with our phones, but you can text either number, or you can email or text to prayer@eshome.com. All right. Well, we have a couple of prayer requests in. First of all, we have two people texting in separately, but both are dealing with foot issues. One messed up their some muscles in their foot and needs healing there. Another person had some surgery on their foot and tripped over a cord and kind of messed that up as well. So they need prayer. Lord, we do pray for both these listeners, two separate listeners dealing with some foot issues and foot injuries. Lord, we pray for healing for them, that you would heal up their feet and heal up these muscles. And Lord, the other one with some complications with their surgery, we just pray for quick healing. We pray for restoration. We pray for, Lord, them to get full function back. We know we can be kind of debilitated when you don't got a foot working. So Lord, we pray that you would help them and heal them. And we pray this in your name. Amen. And another listener writing in asking for less stress for my family caused by events in life. Lord, we do pray for this listener's family as they're just experiencing some stress right now, going through some stressful things. Pray that you would just bring peace and calm to their hearts, Lord. We know that there are going to be storms in this life. There will be challenges before us. And Lord, we pray that even in the midst of these storms, you would bring peace to their hearts, that peace that passes all understanding, that you would replace that stress and that anxiety with a peace and a calmness that can only come from your spirit, as you remind them that you are in control of their lives and in control of the things happening to them, and you will lead them through. And we pray this in your name. Amen. And another listener asking, please pray for my family as my dad is going to be placed in hospice soon. Lord, we do pray for this family as they're making this very hard decision of putting their father into hospice as he's nearing the end of his life. Lord, we pray just for your comfort and peace to be upon the family, be with their father. Lord, if he's a believer, we pray that the promise and the hope of the gospel will comfort them in this time, will strengthen them and encourage them in this time. And if he's not a believer, Lord, we pray that in these moments that they have, this time that he has left, that the Lord, that you would open his heart to the truth of the gospel, the hope of the gospel, and they will be able to rejoice in his salvation. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Well, thank you all so much for tuning in to the Prayer Closet. Remember, if you ever have a prayer request, you can always get that to us by emailing or texting to prayer@yeshome.com. You can also go online to our website, yeshome.com. Click on the chat now button. Get connected to a live online spiritual coach for a live online chat session. That's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Thank you so much for tuning in, everybody. God bless. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday on the Prayer Closet.